Hey, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida. Oh, wow, it is a perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And we are in Tan Talk Radio Network studio, and I have a guest in the studio, and I am so thrilled because she was my first in-studio guest over 7 years ago. Carol J. Perry, welcome to the studio here
in Tanta. I'm so happy to be here and see your smiling face, and I love your intro music. You know I play along in my imaginary piano.
I do, too. Look, it is just so wonderful that, can you imagine? It's crazy. In 7 years, and, you know, she's been doing pretty well here because we are up to book 12 in her wonderful Witch City Mysteries. I'm holding it up to the camera for anyone watching on YouTube. Wow, Carol, 7 years, 12 books. You're pretty amazing.
I like to think so. It surprises me sometimes, too, when I look at my little row of books in my bookshelf at home. And plus, too, you know, I have the other series going, Haunted Haven.
That's right. As if one series wasn't enough, she decided 2 years ago to start a second series, a Haunted Haven series, which is set right here in our area. And it I love that. So I recognize some of the places. But this is exciting. Book 12 is really special because, well, it comes out in the springtime. And what do we have in the spring? We have a wedding. We've been waiting for Lee Barrett to get married through these 12 books.
Oh, yes. I'm getting the, well, it's about time letters from fans. And they're so happy to see Lee and Pete finally tie the knot.
Yeah. Well, it is wonderful. It's an exciting thing. And I wanted to have on the program today for a little while, I've asked somebody very special to join us. Rick Bava recently featured you in his magazine. And Rick, are you there?
I sure am, Patsy, and I'm just delighted to be with you and Carol this morning. First, let me congratulate you on your seventh anniversary. You're doing such remarkable things for everybody who loves the written word, and just delighted to have a few minutes to talk with you and Carol Perry. Carol, you know, we at Today's Senior Magazine just admire your work. So I wanted to come on for a few minutes and congratulate the both of you.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, thank you, Rick. You did a lovely feature on Carol. And I want you to tell us about your magazine. And I want to just remind my listeners, of course, you've been on the program a number of times for your wonderful book, In Search of the Baby Boom Generation, Baby Boomer Generation. And, well, you are an expert on this subject, so tell us about the Seniors Magazine and what you do for seniors.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Patsy, for giving us that opportunity and gives me an opportunity to showcase the magazine, but showcase Carol Perry. We're proud at today's Senior Magazine to be the leading publication for baby boomers and seniors. We've been at this since 2004 as a company, and the particular feature that Carol was highlighted in, the Baby Boomer Corner, I happen to write that feature column myself, and they tell me it's one of the most read columns for baby boomers in the country. So when I had the opportunity to bring someone as distinguished as Carol Perry to our readers, I was really proud. And I must tell your audience, Patsy, that that wouldn't have happened without you.
Well, thank you. You know, I am a big believer in the work that you are doing to help baby boomers really go across a gamut of information that they need to help themselves understand what's happening in the world, what's available for them. The magazine is fascinating. There's both a hard copy and people can read it online. It's a wonderful magazine, and I think it's so helpful. So I was really thrilled when you featured Carol.
Yes, that's really great. You know what's interesting, and both you and Carol might appreciate this, and I know your listeners will. Baby boomers and seniors, for that matter, are reading more. It seems like there's a greater attention to great books, books like what Carol writes, and they follow her. And we've gotten so many positive comments about the profile of Carol. It just shows you the reputation that she has.
Well, she is quite an amazing woman when you think about the fact that she's developed this wonderful series, and she's up to book 12 in 7 years with a cast of characters that have really become beloved. They are so beloved that I have so many people, my listeners, who will say, when are they going to pick this up and make this into a streaming video or put it on the Hallmark Channel? Because Carol's characters, people can relate to them. And there's this little bit of paranormal, but the basic idea is that there's a wonderful story and a wonderful relationship that her characters have. And of course, in one of the characters is her Aunt Ibby, who's a librarian and a senior. And the thing is, that's it's a positive look at how seniors can really take over high tech and do things. And so that's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. My only regret about this this morning is the fact that I wish I was in studio with you both. I wish I could have flown from California to sit down with the both of you. You know, Patsy, you're doing so many great things for authors and writers, and I think what your audience would appreciate, I can give this to you from my perspective of the magazine, is that you bring insight to the author, to books, and you get to feel like you know the book a lot better by the way you describe it. And as I was sharing on social media, I think this in-depth feature interview with Carol Perry this morning is going to be very, very exciting for your audience.
Well, I agree with that outlook. That I think if listeners and readers get to know an author, they really start feeling that familial feeling. They want to know more. They care. And just like Carol cares so much about her readers, she wants them to have fun for a little while. She wants them to have, you know, everybody has problems. The world is difficult. We have all of this. But you need to take this break. That's why I think boomers and seniors are reading more, because they can find that relief and the joy, which is what I'm always talking about, putting that joy on paper and getting it into the hearts of readers.
You know, Patsy, if you allow me a personal note, some of my readers at Today's Senior Magazine wanted me to extend a hello to you, Carol, and to thank you for giving of your time to bring your background to the readers of Today's Senior Magazine. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this morning.
Well, thank you so much. It gave me pleasure to talk with you and to remember a lot of the baby boomer things that I have enjoyed. And I'm glad your readers enjoyed it, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. So much to learn from your background, and it gives them an insight to your writing. So it's great to talk to you both this morning. And, Patsy, I just hope that your interview today, it just goes so well.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. I'm so pleased that you were able to join us today. And I want to tell people that Rick's book is just wonderful. I love it. And it's funny, it's a kind of book that you go back and you refer to it. And it's called In Search of the Baby Boomer Generation. It's available, of course, online. You can read it more about Rick also when you go to the magazine. And it's available online, right? And what else should people know about your website? How can they get to you?
I think, you know, if they just Google Today Senior Magazine. It's one of the top sites. It'll come right up. Anything related to baby boomers and seniors, Today Senior Magazine comes right up. Also, I must say that on Carol Perry's Facebook page, you can find the way to get to the magazine. We were delighted by that. But in my few minutes with you, I just wanted to close with you to say, Patsy, that we at Today's Senior Magazine are very proud of our association with Joy on Paper.
Thank you, Rick. I love you, and I really, really appreciate everything that you've done for me and for the program.
Oh, sure. And Carol, have a great interview with Patsy.
I wish you were here live with us, Rick. That would be so much fun. Let's try to do it someday. I'll put it on my vision board.
Okay. Okay, next time you come out here to Florida.
All righty. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye now, Rick. Bye. Wow. Carol, that was an article. Oh, that article is so delightful. There's so much information in there about you, and that really relates both to boomers and to your books and some of the wonderful things that you include.
I've had several people say, I didn't know that about you. So there were some things in Rick's column about me that I haven't shared a great many places. So read it.
Yes, that is the wonderful thing about this whole idea of getting a feature done on you, mm-hmm. that people can get to know you better.
Yep.
And as they're reading your books, they'll say, ah, well, that's why there's some mention of antique. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you revealed in your feature article.
A number of the things. In my nonfiction life, I wrote a great many magazine and newspaper articles about antiques and collectibles because they interest me a great deal. And also, at one time, my dear friend and fellow writer Sharon Ogan and I were both writing about antiques and collectibles, and we realized that some of the dealers that we were interviewing for such articles and photographs were selling more mid-century stuff than they were the real antiques. So although I can't afford some of the things that I learned to see, that I saw doing that, for instance, a complete Lucite kitchen set, which I saw in an antique shop up in Gainesville, I couldn't afford to buy it, but I gave it to Lee Barrett, who has it, has enjoyed it throughout 12 books and more to come. And in the new series, my protagonist, Maureen Doherty, has inherited a lovely old inn in Florida, and it's happily furnished with Haywood Wakefield furniture, which I also can't afford, but Maureen sleeps in a Haywood Wakefield bed. So some of my baby boomer memories have showed up in both series and will continue to do so.
Well, that's the nice thing about being a writer. Everything that you've done in the past Absolutely. Can come back and be used.
And you can move things around in time and space. It's wonderful. It's so fun. And it's happy memories for me. I did it when I was writing middle grade books for kids before I started writing mysteries. I had childhood memories, and I borrowed some of my kids' memories, and they work into the stories. And it's such fun.
And do some of your friends sometimes say, am I going to be a character?
Occasionally, and some of my high school friends, whether they're readers or not, if they become readers, will find their last names in use. I love names. I love Polish names. I love French names. And I, fortunately, being raised in Salem, we had a diversity of cultures. And I remember, if you're listening, Lydia Miziak and Anna Della Monica and Maureen Subasinski. And I borrowed all of their last names in the books. And I've had fun actually making characters out of some people who never possibly could have dreamed they'd be a character in a book, because they were some of the kids that didn't get a lot of attention and weren't superstars in the team or anything, but I really liked some of these kids, and I threw them in occasionally as a nice person character. They don't know it.
Yeah, well, I like that, being able to use people's names like that in stories. Yeah. Now, I have this name. I'm trying to find this girl. When I was young, my favorite girlfriend was Marcia Sue Loretta LeClaire. Now, you would think that would be an easy name to find. I've been searching for her on the Facebook. Oh. So she obviously got married and probably doesn't go around saying Marcia Sue anymore. But I need Marcia Sue Loretta LeClaire. Isn't that a wonderful name?
It is a wonderful name. Two things I want to tell you. First, go to classmates.com, and you'll find her high school, and you will find her by that name, and you will find her married name if she keeps in touch with classmates.
Well, she was up to the fifth grade, and so I don't know.
She probably graduated from whatever high school that was. She would have come next.
I have to find her.
Yeah,
because I love that name.
I do too. I more than once have kind of auctioned off character names for characters with the Women's History Project. They have a couple of auctions a year, and Carol J. Perry will name a character after you if you bid the highest amount of money. And one of the bidders, and the first time I did it, was Louisa Abney Babcock. And if there was ever a better name for a New England gentlewoman, it's Louisa Abney Babcock. And she has become a dear friend of Aunt Ibby. She now helps Aunt Ibby and some of her girlfriends delve into the mystery-solving business, and Louisa has been in, I think, 10 of the 12 books.
Well, getting back to Aunt Ibby reminds me that we are talking about book 12, Till Death. Till Death is something really special because not only do we have a wedding, mm-hmm. which is always exciting, but we have a little bit of a going back in time for your main character. So let's talk a little bit about Lee Barrett, how you introduced her. The first time I read about her, she was still getting out of Florida mm-hmm. and heading north to your hometown, because I want to remind people that Carol was born on Halloween Eve in Salem, which is why she is perfect to write these Witch City mysteries.
Well, and I have to tell you about Lee's name came about from a restaurant, Secreters, Pass a Grill. Dan and I went there years ago, and the girl who waited on us said her name was Marley. And she said, it's really Marilee, but everybody calls me Marley. And I remembered that name, Marilee, which became Lee's name, her original maiden name. And I went to school with Dorothy Kowalski, and I told you I love Polish names. So she became Marilee Kowalski, her maiden name. So she, and then she married, and she became Lee Barrett. So going past into previous times and catching up with current times and blending it all together is so much fun. Well, when you first met Lee, she had come home to Salem, Massachusetts. And her Aunt Ibby had raised her because, unfortunately, Lee's parents died in a terrible plane accident when she was 5 years old. Now, we reference that plane accident very strongly. I don't want to have a spoiler for this book, so I won't. but we learn about in detail about this accident, not what caused it or anything, but just the horror of it all. And then later on in book four, several books I mentioned Aunt Ibby's jewelry box. I don't know why I did that to start with, because sometimes, as a writer, you do things and realize much later that you had planted something wonderful. And in Aunt Ibby's jewelry box was a particular ring, which in one of the books she said, I'm not ready to give this up now. It was your mother's, but someday I'll give it to you. Well, until death, Lee visits the scene of her parents' death. We learn there was a mystery involved in it, and she inherits the ring, which becomes the key to the mystery. So did I know ahead of time this was going to happen? Somewhere in my mind, I must have known.
You must have known, because here you start off with book one, and you don't even know if you're going to get a contract for book two.
Yeah.
And then it just kept coming along, book two, or book three, every time.
Yeah.
You keep saying to me, I've got another contract. Yeah. I've got another contract. Yeah. It's so exciting.
And there is another contract coming. It hasn't arrived in my mailbox yet, but there is another one.
Well, I knew there was. We had to have one because we need some babies. And as my sister is known in the industry as a connoisseur of cozy mysteries.
She is.
And her name is Natalie, and she has, I think in her collection, about 1,000 cozy mysteries. And so she... she's got it all planned out. She was not going to give up on this until we get the baby.
Natalie has named the baby. Which, and Lee, for one thing, just got married.
Well, you know, we'll
see. But she's not getting any younger.
Yeah,
she's 35.
Yeah, a little tick-tock. It's time. Yeah. It's time. She wants to have, we need those babies. We're going to have twins.
Yeah.
We decided one wasn't enough of it. So my sister's been working on that in her head. She's planning it.
I love Natalie.
Well, she loves you. You know, the first time, you know, you're actually the first real author I met in person, because I had been starting the show and I was talking to famous people on the phone, but you were the first real live author. And I bring the book home to my sister. And so she was like, she still was sort of shocked that I was doing a radio program. I was so shy, she didn't believe it. And she read that book, and the first thing she said, oh, this is a winner. This is an author. So I knew right from there. Now, I'm waiting for a call. Big Ed, when he calls in a little while, we'll talk to an author I think that Carol's going to enjoy. Is he on? And we have him right now. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Mike Johnston. And the name of his book is Confessions of a Dork Lord. Grave danger. And I'm holding it up to the camera, too. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is fantastic. I have in the studio with me Carol J. Perry. She writes a series called The Witch City Mysteries, and she's up to book 12. So we're celebrating today because a nice even dozen.
I think that's something to celebrate.
It is. And I know the minute I got this book, she has a great granddaughter who is going to be an author. And when I got this book, I said to myself, oh, I know Carol's girl will just love this book. It is fantastic. As I said, it's called The Confessions of a Dork Lord. Grave danger. I love the cover. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we have a wonderful illustrator who I think lives in London, named Marta Altace, and she does all the interior drawings and the covers as well, and she's really wonderful. I highly recommend her work, and so it's been a joy having her illustrate these.
They're middle grade, and the wonderful thing, right at the beginning, there's a map, and I love maps. I love books with maps.
Well, I do too.
I mean,
I'm happy to see one.
It's a beautifully done map, really drawn with lots of details. I was going along with my finger sort of trailing along. And you're right, it's beautiful. And I love these middle grade books where they have the illustrations. And your publisher obviously loves you because they did a high quality book with beautiful paper. And I do appreciate, and I think young people do appreciate fine paper.
I think they really do, don't they? Like my daughter has records and a record player, and she likes real books. Like I'm really encouraged by the kids. They seem to really enjoy the things that maybe we enjoyed.
Well, I think so, and I think that's why it's important that we don't talk down to kids and we give them quality books, because this is a book that I'm sure every kid will treasure, just like I have every one of my Nancy Drew books, and
of course.
You know, and you don't want to give them up because they're quality.
Okay. Yeah, there's precious things. We spend a lot of time with them, right? Reading them and rereading them, so they mean something to us.
Well, let's talk about how you came up with the idea for Confessions of a Dork Lord. But first, I want to mention that I love your wife.
Yeah. Yes, I am married to another author.
Well, you know, she's been on the program. And, of course, her name is Melissa de la Cruz. And I love Never After. I love...
Oh, good.
Oh, my gosh. I got such a kick out of that book. But we're going to concentrate on you. But I know she must be very proud of you.
I hope so. I'll ask her.
Oh, I know so. So tell us about Confessions of a Dork Lord.
Well, you know, we've almost been on topic. It was a book that began with my daughter. You know, she was 6, 7, 8 years old, and I was reading her middle grade books and really enjoying that time together. And, you know, maybe learning a little bit as an author what the jokes that she liked and what made her laugh and what drew her attention. And it really made me want to work in that space and maybe do those same things to her, kind of make her laugh and, you know, get her excited about books. And that was really the genesis of it. I really wanted to work in this genre. And she really liked the diary books. And I didn't see at that time, at least, like and there probably is one, and I just missed it as an idiot. But, like, I didn't see a fantasy kind of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, you know. They were all kind of contemporary. And I was a big fantasy sci-fi geek when I was a kid. And I was like, well, I want one of these books in my genre. I want like a, you know, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings kind of thing, you know, but still with that kind of humorous voice that kids like. And that was really the genesis of Confessions of a Dork Lord.
And when you came out with this idea, whoa, you went wild with the idea.
Very good. Yeah, it's a big fantasy world, and it's a big fun adventure, and you know, and I love writing these books, and hopefully I'll be able to continue writing more of them. It really is actually a joy to be in that kind of kid space, you know, the space for like a 10 or a 12 year old who's excited about the world and exploring it and likes goofy, over the top humor. So it's a joy to write these, and hopefully it's a joy to read them as well.
Well, I think you've captured that feeling, because in Grave Danger, of course, let's talk about Wick and this Spell Gone Wrong.
Nice. Yeah. The middle grade novel is in some ways like a comedy of errors, at least in this genre. So my book is really an exploration of what happens when literally everything goes wrong in your life. Which is something I hope we can all relate to. My own novel, this Grave Danger, he ends up in grave danger after making a grave mistake. He casts a terrible spell and destroys his own castle. And it is therefore banished from the land he is one day supposed to rule, forced to go out and prove himself. So that's where our story starts, basically.
Well, I think it's amusing. You're funny. You've got a great sense of humor. Do your daughters get to read them first so you get their opinion?
That's a good question. You know, Matea has read some of my stuff, and I used to, when I now pick her up from school, but when I drove her to school, I would tell her a little bit of the plot of one of my books every day, and she seemed to really enjoy hearing how the stories would evolve. So we definitely we run her through the stories in a lot of really interesting ways. And so we maybe it's not a traditional like her reading the books, but she sort of gets in on the process end, you know. She sort of sees the ideas early, and we can kind of bounce them off of her that way. I don't know if my wife does that, actually. It's a good question.
Well, the nice thing about... Wick is interesting because he's not... He's sort of the opposite of so many things. He has allergies, which I thought was a fun addition, because so many kids have allergies. I bet they relate to that.
I have allergies. Yeah, The joke is, of course, and it is a joke that he's allergic to fire. And I guess the other premise behind this book is I was trying to write something about a sort of anti-hero, and that's what Wick is. He's the son of, you know, the Dark Lord of Sauron or Saruman or, you know, one of these kind of great Voldemort sort of villains that we read about in fantasy so often. So I was really interested in this kind of anti-hero as hero in the book, and that's Wick. And so he was the guy who was meant to be the Dark Lord, but he is he's finding it difficult to follow in his dad's footsteps. He doesn't quite like all the same things the mythical evil overlords of fantasy often enjoy.
When now that you're sort of we can get out and about again, are you going out and promoting the book? Are you going to events?
You know, I'm not doing a tour for this one. Maybe it's still too early for me. But I am going to be at Y'all West. I'm at a teen book festival, and I'll be out. I'm doing radio for this one, so it'll be that, which is something that's new for me. So it's feels like a good COVID safe way to promote the book. So I'm excited about that. It's something new. I haven't done that before. But I do enjoy school tours. I enjoy talking to children, and so I'm excited to actually do that again. I think that's actually one of the joys, to get out and read from the books and actually talk to children who are this age about the books. And, you know, you forget just how much enthusiasm kids have for just life and books and everything. And so I toured for the first book in the series back in, I think, January 2020. And, you know, when the world was what it used to be, that was a wonderful experience. I've done school tours before, and I've always really enjoyed it. It's just great to meet with really young children and just hear the crazy questions they come up with, you know. It's always that I enjoy that. So I am looking forward to doing that again, not for this book, but, you know, in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you're already finished with the next book, right?
I have a couple other books that I'm working on. Yeah, it's always, interesting enough, this book was written in early 2020. It does, I think because these books, you know, they're illustrated, they take a little longer to come together and to, you know, actually find their way to the shelves, which I don't mind. Sometimes, you know, takes a long time to make something sort of nice looking.
So how do you, people are saying that you relate so well to teenagers. I don't know if they're saying that you're still childish, but what?
Is that a compliment? Or?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. But of course, with a wife who's dealing with fantasy, yeah, that must help.
I think so. I think it's definitely in our family conversation. We're a family who kind of talks about this genre and talks about books a lot and making books. You know, it's definitely something that creeps into our dinner table conversation quite often and our daily conversation. So it's what, you know, we're about. But, you know, we have a kid too, and you know, I think anybody who wants to write, kind of, you know, maybe that time when they were a kid was a time that they really recall, or maybe, you know, for me it was a time when I read a lot of books, and so my head was really in this kind of material at that age, and I knew what I liked and didn't like. And I think that's something I've taken with me, at least into my books, because to me, I've always read and I always will read. But, you know, reading as a kid is something that's extra special, because it's sort of the first time you do it, you know, and you discover heroes and other worlds and get inspired by all that. And that's a feeling I've never let go of. I love those emotions, and I love discovering things through books. I still do. I'm always looking for something new to read and fun and interesting.
Well, what are you reading now? What's grabbed you recently?
That's a very good question. I always look at my queue of things. I'm reading a book called from Brandon Sanderson called The Rhythm of War, which is a super big fantasy. I read Power and Thrones by Dan Jones. I like to read history. I'm always reading a little history, and I will go back and reread books. I've been working on a book that's sort of a reinterpretation of Alice in Wonderland. So I reread Alice in Wonderland about a month ago. Actually read it twice, which is something that probably just authors do. But I always love to reread. I reread, and then I hunt for new things.
Well, I think that it's very important, you know. Authors will, or new writers will come to me and say, well, you know, I want to want to write a book, and many of them will say, well, I'm going to start with a picture book, and then I'll work my way up. And I always say, oh, listen, the middle grade books are really, really so difficult because you have an audience that's very critical. Kids are very critical about books. You have to get it right, or you just don't interest them.
I would agree. There's definitely an attention span issue, right? I think kids aren't going to... And it's interesting because I haven't quite thought of it that way, but, you know, adults will give you a few more pages of reading, perhaps, before abandoning the novel entirely. Whereas kids, I can see losing them on a page, right? You get halfway down that first page, and if you haven't drawn them in a little bit, you might have lost them already forever. We should never, as we kind of intimated before, we should never talk down to children or expect that somehow the standards are lessened when, of course, it's just the opposite, right? We try to give the very best to children, which is why I enjoy children's publishing. I think the authors, the editors, we all take it really seriously, and we know that what we do is important to kids.
Well, it is, and I think this series, Confessions of a Dork Lord, I think it's wonderful. Your writing is excellent. The wonderful thing is talking about making sure that you do not talk down to children, using good language, using good writing. If you imbue them with this at a young age, then I think they will be readers for life.
Oh, definitely. This is the time when we, and I certainly think that somebody could enjoy books. They could find that pleasure in reading or later in life. But let's face it, more often than not, it is found at a young age, right? So this is the time to begin those lifelong habits or hobbies, joys, you know.
And the wonderful thing is, like you do, you mix history in with all of the other things, all the fantasy, the humor. There's always... It's very apparent that you enjoy history.
Yes. And I also, I have a an adult fantasy series with Tor called The Amber Throne. The first book was called Solari, and it's a very historical kind of epic fantasy set in kind of the Roman period of 2,000 years ago. That was a series I spent many years writing, and there's a lot of history there. Of course, you know, when you write a kid's middle grade book, you don't want to have that same degree of history, but I still like researching, and in this book, I always find something to read and research, and I've done a lot of research on the Middle Ages, which I find endlessly entertaining. Life was just so different back then. So there's a little bit of research in here, but it's a little bit unexpected. I tried to find things that were funny or entertaining and historical for the kids, and so some of it is just things like, you know, how would you go to the bathroom if you lived in a castle? I was in Prague, and my daughter was looking at a castle, and she was like, "What is with all the staining on the side of the castle?" And the tour guide looked up and said, "Oh, that's the bathroom." You know, it's basically just a bench that would hang off the side of the castle, and everyone would just go to the bathroom, and anything that came out would just dribble down the side of the building. And that was how most castle bathrooms worked.
Yeah, and so it's wonderful that you have all of this background. As I was telling Carol earlier, everything that we do, everything, all of our trips, all of our traveling, all of our jobs that we do come back to us when we're writing, and it's great to have all this material to draw upon.
It is. Yeah, definitely. I love to travel. It's, we call it research, of course.
Yeah.
So much fun.
And we can, and writers can deduct that from their taxes, so that's not bad.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do travel for research. My wife and I, both being writers, you know, we do love going to new and interesting places, and it's a great source of inspiration to be somewhere different, you know, where they do things differently.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you.
I think that it's just wonderful that you're a writing family and that you have really gone out there and grabbed the hearts of so many young people with this wonderful series and Confessions of a Dork Lord. I think it's a great title, and I'm sure a lot of kids are really gravitating to it because the writing is fine. The new book is called Grave Danger, and of course it's available online. And Mike Johnston, tell me, where do people go? You have a website?
Yeah, you can find me. My Twitter and Instagram handle is mjohnstonauthor. And if you type in my name, Michael Johnston Author, you'll also just get my website. But you can find me on social media and on the web. I'm pretty easy to locate. If you type in Mike Johnston, Confessions of a Dork Lord, it'll all come up.
Okay, you know what I have to do? You know what,
yep.
Mike? I'm going to have you and Melissa back, and we'll do an entire hour together.
Nice.
How about that?
Sure.
That would be fun. And I can hear, she can tell me all about what she thinks about you. And okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye now, Mike. Great talking to you. Bye. Oh, isn't that a lovely book?
It's a
lovely
book.
Have you looked at it?
A great interview. And, you know, you handed me the book, and which I had not seen before. The cover is wonderful. But sometimes I do this and open the book and look at the middle page. Well, I opened this one, and the first sentence I saw was, "We hoped the vampires hadn't noticed us." And 11-year-old me would have said, "Yes, please, librarian, I'm taking this
book." I'm taking this book. Well, you're taking that book with you because I know that
we
you
hope
have
the vampires had noticed us.
Yeah.
I love it.
Isn't that, a line like that is just perfect.
And he's right about talking to the kids in school when you, because I did write this. And also I've talked to kids in school with the mystery series too, which is kind of interesting. And he's doing a good thing by touring schools.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Well, that's what Devon Miller, who does the book buzzes for us here on children's books, he, you know, gets together with children and reads books for them on the weekends. It's wonderful because we want to encourage children to read. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to play a book buzz, a special book buzz just for you. Okay?
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Carol J. Perry's Till Death. The books in Carol J. Perry's Witch City Mysteries are so vivid that you feel as if you are right there in Salem, Massachusetts. It might come from the fact that Carol was born there on Halloween Eve. You are invited to a wedding in Till Death, Book 12 in this bewitching series. The staff at WICH-TV is looking forward to the wedding of their program director, Lee Barrett, to Detective Sergeant Pete Mondello, who have been a hot item for a long time. Lee is busy tying up loose ends before the big day. It'll be an adjustment moving out of her apartment in Aunt Ibby's house, but the couple are moving a few doors down to stay nearby. After all, they have to share custody of Orion, their clairvoyant cat. After the celebration, complete with a cake made by the TV station magician, Lee and Pete are looking forward to their getting to their honeymoon destination, Pirate Island in Maine. The newlyweds don't realize that soon they will be opening a mystery that hits very close to home for Lee Barrett, the death of Lee's parents 30 years earlier. There's lots of intrigue and suspense as Lee and Pete's honeymoon ends up being more eventful than they anticipated. And Lee has to put their wedding gifts aside and turns to her psychic gifts instead. If the Mondellos want to enjoy their honeymoon, they will have to wrap up crimes both past and present. Meanwhile, Aunt Ibby, a feisty former librarian who is a computer whiz, is planning to rent out Lee's old apartment. But she's getting some bad vibes from her prospective tenant. As always, Carol J. Perry's writing is rich and multi-layered. She has a talent for introducing intriguing new characters, and in this book, readers get to meet Lee's extended family, even if they are quite odd and possibly murderers. A great read with some psychic witchery vibes and, of course, Orion, the cat with a cool personality. Be a guest at the wedding. Pre-order Carol J. Perry's Till Death. Do it now. It will be released this spring on April 26th and be ready for a thrilling and poignant adventure in this latest Witch City Mystery series. Another great book from Kensington Publishing.
Music. Isn't that a lovely one? And they don't have to pre-order it. They can order it because it is available today.
Yep.
It is the release day.
At your local Barnes & Noble or on Amazon, Target, Books-A-Million. There's lots of places you can find it, and please find it.
Exactly. Find it because it is a fun read. And once, you know, the wonderful thing about when people can read a book, this is a standalone, you can read it. But once you read it, you'll want to go back all the way to book one. In the olden days, that was difficult.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Book one is still the bestseller.
Yeah. Isn't that, but isn't it funny that, you know, in the olden days when we'd buy the books, then we'd have to go and haunt secondhand bookstores to get them. But now you can get them. So if you find a series you like this one, and of course, I'm so grateful to Rita Moreau, who does these book buzzes. Doesn't she have a wonderful
voice? You can tell she's really read the books, too.
And the most wonderful thing is that she gets so enthusiastic, just like Natalie does, and especially about your books. And of course, Rita is herself an author.
Rita is a darn good author.
That's right. Yeah. And she's got a new series that she's also started, and it is the Ghost and Camper Kooky Mystery Series. And I know that she wants everyone to know that in the first week of May, May 1st to May 6th, one of her books is going to be on special. And you can go to her website, ritamoreau.com, or follow her also on Facebook. And you're on Facebook, and you have a great website too, Carol J. Perry. And people can find out more, because this is exciting. You know, it is so thrilling, really, when I think about it. Well, we have this book coming out, Book 12. When is book two of the new series coming, Haunted Haven?
That'll be September. And the name of that one is High Spirits.
High Spirits. And that's set here. I love it. I love it because it's set in an old inn, and you're bringing in local history.
Yes. I've invented a town called Haven, Florida, which is kind of a composite. A lot of it is Gulfport. A lot of it is... Some of it is Safety Harbor. Some of it is Cedar Key, a little bit of Sanford. The old Florida towns that the highways sort of pass by, and they retain their original Florida charm. And Haven, you get to pick and choose pieces of these different places, moving things around in time and space. And Haven has become fun for me, and hopefully for the readers. And I have... When Kensington asked me to do a paranormal, I decided on ghosts. And I am loving my ghosts.
Well, it's wonderful. And, of course, we have, you know, in our area, we have a rich history. And we have many famous people who have been here over the years, some long gone, who might make an appearance in some of your books.
Yes, some of them have.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth showed up.
Well, I love that because I think of Babe Ruth every time I come to the studio. I go past the country club where he used to play golf, and I just sort of slow down, and I don't care about the traffic behind me. Anyway, I can tell you, Bel Air has great police people. They have those cars that don't look like police cars. So it is a good idea to slow down. But I like to slow down, and I imagine Babe Ruth out there playing golf, because people don't realize that he loved golf more than baseball.
Dan and I drove past his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's lovely, and it was right across from the water. You could just sort of picture him enjoying
it. Yeah, well, he loved Florida. Oh, yeah.
He did.
I mean, this was spring training down here, and still.
And I have a long-forgotten vice president who shows up occasionally as a ghost, and a number of famous people had found their way to Haven.
Yeah.
And no one can say I'm wrong.
Well, no. And, you know, I know that, for example, F. Scott Fitzgerald and Zelda were invited here to the hotel, the Don Cesar, to the opening of the Don Cesar Hotel.
Oh, I haven't used them yet.
That's why I'm suggesting it, because Zelda did a moon dance out there right in front of the hotel.
That.
they were invited, and the hotel wasn't even completely open, but they brought celebrities like they do, you know, for so many things.
I did not know this.
So it's a wonderful, you can go down to the hotel and they'll tell you all about it.
But the next book is going to be mostly ghostly, and that's all I have is the title, but I think you can look for Zelda and maybe Scott.
Dancing around a little, you know, not necessarily wearing anything, right there under the moon and having fun, because that's part of the wonderful thing of this area. We have so much information. We have so much to drop on.
Did you notice that it is a beautiful day today in Clearwater, and it isn't raining?
I was going to mention that, because generally speaking, when Carol comes in here, we have a storm. And I was a little afraid, because this morning we had a blip in our electricity in the condo, and it went off for a little while, and we lost everything. We lost it. And I thought, oh my gosh, are we going to have a major storm? Because Carol's coming to the studio. But it cleared up. And maybe that's because you're writing this new wonderful series. So everybody, they can get Till Death today. It is the release date. And as Carol said, boy, she's often on the end caps at Barnes & Noble. And then, of course, also, as you said, Target and so many places online. Also, Carol, I think you're doing great with this book. I'm so proud of you for the article that was written about you in today's Seniors. And Rick Bava, I want to thank him so much for joining us today. I think he's still listening to the program, because that article was great. And there's also an advertisement in there that Joy on Paper sponsored to promote your book using your QR code that people can use. And I just want to thank you so much for being here on Joy on Paper today. We are going to, in a few minutes when we end this program, we're going to end it with a commercial. We'll do Go EHS at the end. But, we'll do it in a minute. So I just want to say again, Carol J. Perry, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's a thrill, my goodness. And the next time, well, we're going to come in September. And then the following spring, we're going to come back and we're going to have... We're going to have babies. I think we're going to have babies. But I want to thank you so much, Carol. Thank you. And everybody, remember what I say. Boy, oh boy, you want to be a writer? Follow Carol. She gets up in the morning and she's dedicated, right?
Absolutely. I did some this morning.
She has a schedule and she follows it. And that's what you can do. You too can be a real, real fantastic writer and be here in the studio. I'm going to say something nice to Big Ed. And Big Ed, go ahead and play Go EHS, because people need to buy solar right now. The electric bills are crazy, people. Absolutely insane. Go ahead. Hit going.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.